Welcome, everybody, to your favorite day of the week. I am Anthony Irwin, joined, as always, for these Friday episodes by Pete Zayas of the Laker Film Room podcast, of Lakers Collective, of all of your favorite videos ever, basically.
Been a minute.
Pete, how you holding up, bud?
I'm pretty good. I was telling you, you know, right before, I'm in the process of moving and doing it by myself.
Not just moving.
So, yeah.
Capital M, moving.
Yeah, going to be a Florida man soon. So, and doing all of it by myself. So it's like, oh, my Lord.
But you and Jonathan there, Isaac, two typical Florida men.
How you doing, my friend? I know you're enjoying British Open right now.
I am, dude. It's been so fun. Scottie Scheffler and Bryson DeChambeau are in the same group together. They're like two polar opposite human beings, but they played the sport in very unique ways. So that's been really fun. I was actually going to start by saying, Pete, I'm in a lot better mood going into this episode than the last time you and I spoke.
Yeah. You enjoying the Summer League team?
So it's a reminder of like the brand of basketball that I like. You and I were texting back and forth, and I was like, man, it's crazy how this team is so like polar opposite of how the Lakers have been built to this point. Right now, there are more moves to come, and we'll talk about those as well. But like, this team is not very offensively skilled. Like as far from a creative standpoint, it's just like, we'll see what happens on this given possession in the half court. But what they do is absolutely get after it defensively. They suffocate these teams. The Chicago Bulls summer league team last night was just like broken by the end of that game.
And they were talking all kinds of shit at the beginning of that, Anthony.
You had Caleb Wilson saying to Arthur Kaluma, who are you? And Kaluma's like, bitch, your team has 40 in the third quarter.
Due to turn you over eight times. Yeah.
Right. So it's just been this reminder of like the brand of basketball that I just kind of enjoy the most. This suffocating, wear you down 3 yards in a pile of dust, but by the end of the game, you just hate life type of basketball. And now like you put it to me in text in a really kind of interesting way where it does kind of link up with the way that the Lakers roster is built and the way that the summer league team is built. And there's this kind of, they're simpatico actually. Like they're there's this, that eventually the two brands of basketball are going to mingle and that'll be really interesting to watch. But no, I'm in a much better mood going into this conversation because the basketball has been so fun to watch. Cam Carr is fucking legit. Yeah, I think he's like I think he might be a rotation player like by the All-Star break. What have you seen from him?
I've loved what we've seen from Carr. He does have some offensive skill. He's the guy that does provide a certain level of you got to worry about him in the half court sets that has been super helpful. And so what I love about him is he's thriving in exactly what I think the role on the big club will be. And especially situationally, right? He's coming off of a lot of screens in starting in that left corner, or they'll run the Finland action where he sets a back screen and then he gets a screen himself as he curls off. But what I'm so excited about is we talk about like three level scoring, right? But if you apply that to a specific circumstance like this, I'm coming off of a screen, he can come off of the screen, and if he gets separation, can go right up into that three and hit those very comfortably off of movement. If somebody is locking and trailing and the big man is back at the basket in the paint, very comfortable taking both the midi, and he's got a floater. I didn't realize his floater was as good as it's been. And that's a different type of shot, because like there's the pull-up jump shot footwork where you try to elevate straight up, but sometimes you can't get enough separation. You actually have to kind of lean forward. A lot of guys aren't good at both of those shots. It's usually like an either or type of thing. And he's shown some
ability. With long arms.
That's like a great point. Great point.
The shooting with long arms is difficult in and of its own right, because all of that has to link up. Actually, it's funny that I'm watching golf at the same time here, because those guys with long arms, if they get a hold of one, the ball goes forever. But there's so many more variables on the club's path to the ball. Shooting a basketball is very similar. Shooting a floater is even more so, that because shooting a floater, you have such a smaller window. You got to get that ball to the right spot. You got to shoot it with that finesse. And a lot of times, right, that, that floater is just in inherently this like very clumped up shot that you just kind of, flick up there, and you can kind of see your arm never fully extends. And that's really difficult for somebody with long arms to do like that. There's a lot going on there. So yeah, him having both of those shots is super impressive right now.
And then he can get all the way to the rack too, right? And finish. He's gotten a bunch of and ones. He sets good screens despite being a skinny guy. It's like you can still at least make contact. And that's one of the things for shooters is if you want to get yourself open, set a good screen yourself and you put the defense in a real compromised position. And then the last part of it we haven't seen yet, but it's more because the passers haven't made the pass. This was really present in the Clippers game where they tried to ball pressure the Lakers and then they'd top lock on Cam and other players, meaning that they wouldn't let him come off of the screen. Like, we're not going to let you use the screen, but that opens up the back cut along the baseline where if the guard sees it and isn't getting pressured too much, that's a lob. And I feel very comfortable about his athletic ability if, you know, on the other end of a Luka type of lob, man. So in the NBA situations that he's going to be facing, he's got it all. And he had this one, it was off of a Finland action where you set that back screen and curl around where he came off of it and then they cut him off and then he like reverse pivoted and shot it off of the glass. That was like beautiful shot where I don't know, man, I can't believe we got him at 24. He was who I was hoping for, like, you know, good 10, 15 picks.
Yeah, it was like my fever dream pick. It was just like, there's no way he's going to get to us, but yeah, we'll see. We'll see. And then that, like, literally on the draft show that we were doing here with Raj, I wouldn't say his name. I didn't want to jinx it.
Don't want to jinx it. Right here. Right.
I didn't want
to. So he's here now.
Like, who's your guy? Who's your guy? Who's your guy? He's like, I'm not saying it. I'm not saying it. And then they had their pick and I got the text and then I saw the notifications. I was like, oh my God, they got my guy. Hell they got the guy. I could say his name.
So fun, so man. And then
for him to live up to it, like for absolutely. Him to, for us to be as excited about him as we were going into the draft and then for them to draft him and then for him to actually look the way that he has to where I thought he was the best player. It's between he and Thero on a night by night basis, I think. But for him to look as frequently as he has as the best player on the court, it's just been, he's going to be good.
And I love his attitude, right? Like if you're going to be skinny, you got to have some attitude to you. And he, talking a lot of shit, as is the rest of the team. And I just love how they play. They're super aggressive defensively. Magnon has been a revelation. Adu has been – he's got parts of his game that I think Summer League helps bring out. And just his ball handling, and he's wild for sure. Like there's – it's not always the smoothest, but he's so powerful athletically that I think he's just got a whole different – bag of tricks available to him than most guys do. That like he had one play in last night's game where he missed a corner three off of an inbound, then the ball kind of caromed around and tracked it down, took it to the rack, jumped right into someone's body, threw it hard off of the backboard, jumped, caught it and dunked it like an alley-oop to himself, you know. And it was like it was kind of wild, but that's effective. And like there are some guys like Zion can do this type of stuff where it's like just full-on wrecking ball basketball that but then also like drive and kick, like high velocity pass with his left hand on a drive and kick that are like, that's a nice ass pass. Or he had one earlier where he had like a wrap around to the corner a few games ago that he's just showing aspects to his game. I'm excited about. I just love this team. And then Kaluma and even dudes like Antoine Watson has been super helpful. Hickey, Ryan Russillo, the ball, by the way, best celebration, bro,
ever.
Dude rubs ever. His ball.
There's no better.
Amazing celly for a three.
There has never been a better celebration than that. I'm sorry. Like it's just I know D'Lo had his ice in his veins. I know, you know, Brunson has this thing and everybody had, there is nobody ever touching rubbing the bald spot. Just you know, being good. This is me. And then for his name to be Elmore, like for him to look like Fudd too. Mm-hmm. Perfect. it's been really, really fun on the Arrow front. And by the way, please hit that like button, please hit the subscribe button, turn on notifications, blah, 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 blah. Also use the promo code HMA for Prize Picks. Got to pay the bills. Promo code for Prize Picks is HMA. Set up an account, Use that promo code. $5 lineup gets $50 worth of lineups there on Prize Picks. But yeah, like the Theriault thing kind of reminds me of like a big body, powerful Benz, you know, a lot of times, like I remember the first time I drove a car kind of like that, right? Where it was a car that like for sure could get up to speed. And once it got up to speed, it was like, this thing is just, it's heavy. Mm-hmm. Cars get out of the way, you know? And now Theriault does have some like legit quickness. He does get up to speed quickly, but when he gets up to speed and when he has a full slate of momentum in front of him, it's just like, what do you even do? And, yeah. Watching him, and now like to your point, he has better passing instincts that I gave him credit for coming into summer league. So he's made a couple of those passes out to the corners that I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. all right. I like watching that. And then also maybe most importantly, defensively, the way that he accepts yeah. every single challenge, where yesterday he was guarding Caleb Wilson, and amazing. Wilson is this top five pick. Mm-hmm. He's probably gotten as much buzz as anybody who is playing in this tournament here. And there were moments where like you could see he just passed the ball off because he was like, I'm in a tough spot with this dude who's taking this matchup personally. And I think like this is a collective identity thing, which is kind of rare that you see a collective identity on a summer league team. Mm-hmm. Everybody is taking this personally. Like everybody is taking this tournament is something they want to win. It's been so much fun. But how many times, Pete, have you thought to yourself, you know, if Kuminga doesn't come, that opens up minutes for Theriault? Has the thought crossed your mind?
It's less about the starting spot. Like, I want Adu in the rotation, and it's funny you bring this up.
No, I don't want him to start. Oh God, no.
Right. Oh, right. But yeah, we would like. I see if Kuminga doesn't come, or if we don't fill that spot with somebody, that's going to be who, Jake, in that starting spot. Like,
yeah,
I'll be disappointed if we're starting. And I like Jake. I like Jake, I think, more than a lot of Laker fans do. But he shouldn't be starting, you know. And I just think there's sort of I want us to have a 50 to 55 win type of season that I think. So someone posted that the over-under is 45, because of course it is, like it always is.
I would so happily bet that.
It's like actual reality doesn't ever seem to matter. Anyway, I know we lost LeBron, but like that to me is more of a post All-Star break and postseason thing. That's where you're really gonna, that the Lakers are really gonna feel that. But in terms of regular season wins, I think this is gonna be a very good regular season team and has all the ability to. But I was gonna ask you about like Adu versus Vando or Tybal, who we'll talk about in a moment, versus like Mannion, like. To what degree do you invest in the younger player and let them get reps and let them get their lumps? Because that's one thing from watching Adu where I'm like, this dude just needs to play. He needs minutes and reps. He needs to fuck up and then learn from it. It's like reps and film room to me. Those are the two big things for Adu, that if he gets those two things, he's going to be in a way different place 6 months from now than he is now. But you also want to win games, and a guy like Tybal coming in, or Vando's a vet that I think we're going to be switching a little less and a little more conducive to his defensive talents. So there is an argument to like, no, play the dude who's better now and let the younger player earn it. But where do you sort of stand on that idea of development and letting a young guy take their lumps versus the guy who's more ready now?
Well, I'll answer this in two different ways, because I think two different things are true here. Me personally, going into this offseason, and we are going to talk about like the plan of 2026, you know, the summer 26 plan and all that stuff. We'll talk about this in a bit. Coming into this summer, it was like my bar was, we're building a championship team. Like that's what we were told to wait for. We've arrived here. Let's now execute this plan. And now it's been kind of signaled, whether through back channels, reporting, whatever, this is a multi-year plan. This is a multi-step plan, which is totally like,
it's reasonable. Yeah. Yeah.
Objectively true for one thing, right? Like they were too far away to execute all of this in the one summer, which is what I've been arguing in the previous transaction cycles that they've sat out. But also, like, if this is a multi-year plan, then part of that should probably be developing some of these guys, especially as this team is going to get more and more expensive by design. You want to have some of these cost control guys pop a little bit more. So I think in terms of practicality, I think leaning a little bit more on youth and developing that youth and really focusing on it. Actually, moments before we went live, we got news from Shams that Zach Guthrie was being promoted from head coach of the South Bay Lakers to now on JJ Redick's staff, and he's the head of player development. And I don't think that's a coincidence, you know. And hell, I bet Ty Abbott, who's been in charge of the summer league team here, probably going to get the top job at South Bay Lakers as his replacement, you know.
That'd be great.
And so, like, I think, you know, this investment, and we know that the Dodgers invest heavily in player development. I do think eventually that those guys are going to get their reps. And I think it's the right move. And also, as far as like Vando and Thybulle go specifically, Thybulle's known for missing a lot of time.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And Vando is known for being in and out of the rotation and also misses his share of time because of the way that he plays. So I think the Lakers will be able to have their cake and eat it too.
It's a great point. It's a great point.
How about you? Like, how do you lean there? Like, because you're right. You have Luka on your team. The focus right now is Luka's timeline. And you know, the we don't have a ton of patience for those guys, but where do you stand?
I want to, to me, it's reasonable to, if you're going to lose LeBron, you're not going to be a title team that following year. This is the last year, this upcoming year, where not being in the mix for a championship is acceptable, like, and understandable. They need to be in that mix for the 27-28 season. And to your point, like, developing guys like Adu and hopefully Emmanuel, and right, I know he's on a two-way and barely played. A lot of this comes down to Redick's preferences too. Like, Manuel was on the team last year too, and he barely played, right? But developing Carr and getting all those reps, like, I think I come down more on that side than needing to see Matisse or Vando get minutes instead of Adu and those guys.
I do think Thybulle is in a class above Vando.
Like, I agree, right? He's become a pretty good three-point shooter and does, like, it's the thing with him is just dude's hurt 50 plus games a year, but like, if he's healthy, that'd be a huge pickup on a vet min. That's a fair point. He's a good player that, yeah. That's fair. And Mannion is not, I like Mannion, but I don't consider him on like the Cam Carr or even Adu type of tier of our prospects. Maybe that's just relative to where he was drafted and all that, but I need to see a little more offensively. Just he's been good as a finisher and good at getting to the rim in summer league. I need to see it in the NBA, and he should get some reps. I
love his attitude though.
Mannion's great, man. He's great, but Matisse is sort of a better version of him right now, I would say. But could that be different in a year and a half? And so I do want to see them invest in the young guys more than the good players. But you make a good point about Matisse.
Mannion, obviously, way different class of shooter. Like, not even in the same book. But kind of shoots like Bibby. Have you noticed that? Like, he has
his shoulders.
And his guiding hand is way on top of the ball, which is, you know, a thing. But anyway, the Mannion thing, because there has been, like, you know, I've been pushing for it. If the Lakers did send Bronny for draft capital and open up another roster spot, like, Mannion would be my preference after acquiring Thybulle. But if I had to choose between signing Thybulle to a minimum contract and converting Mannion to a full-on NBA contract, I would very easily choose Matisse. Like, it's not even really a conversation for me.
Bye, everyone.